Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Monday, November 19th, 2018. Today we're reading from the Big Book in the chapter A Vision for You. We're on page 158, starting with the second paragraph, which begins on the third day, reading and commenting on three paragraphs, ending with "from which he was long absent." Today's readers are Laura A. for the 12 Steps, Reggie O. for the 12 Traditions, Kathy G., Wendy B., and Terry C., and Melanie C. is our newcomer greeter for today. The reference number for the 8:30 a.m. special edition on gratitude for yesterday is 121194. That's 12,194. And that was for Sunday, November 18th at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Beautiful meeting. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Monday, November 19th, 2018 is 12196. That's 12,196. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura A. to please read the steps.
Good morning. This is Laura A. from New Hampshire, recovered compulsive eater. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you for your service, Laura A. And I will now ask Reggie O. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, good morning. Thanks, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O. in the Los Angeles area, and these are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Very grateful to be able to serve this morning.
Thank you very much, Reggio. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 158, starting with the second paragraph, and we'll be reading and commenting on three paragraphs. I will ask Kathy G to please begin reading.
Good morning. Thank you so much. It's Kathy G, recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. On the third day, the lawyer gave his life to the care and direction of his creator and said he was perfectly willing to do anything necessary. His wife came, scarcely daring to be hopeful, though she thought she saw something different about her husband already. He had begun to have a spiritual experience. That afternoon, he put on his clothes and walked from the hospital, a free man. He entered a political campaign, making speeches, frequenting men's gathering places of all sorts, often staying up all night. He lost the race by only a narrow margin, but he had found God, and in finding God, had found himself. That was in June 1935. He never drank again. He, too, has become a respected and useful member of his community. He has helped other men recover and is a power in the church from which he was long absent. Beautiful. What hope is in these paragraphs? So we're talking about step three today. And step three to me is just all about surrender. It's all about laying down the negotiation. No more negotiating. No more thinking that I can somehow figure out how to be free from this obsession. And if we flip to page 63, the third step prayer is on there. And it says, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. And after that it says, we at last abandon ourselves utterly to him. And interesting, as we read that prayer, it's all about God and his will. You know, it says, thy will, thy love, thy power, not my will, my power, because it didn't work. You know, I might have had brief moments where I thought it worked, but in the long term, I could not stop from the compulsive overeating. And what else I loved about this paragraph was the line that says, his wife came scarcely daring to be hopeful. Well, why is that? Probably because how many, many, many times before had he talked about the new thing he was going to do to stop drinking? But it says that afternoon he put on his clothes, he left the hospital a free man. He found God, and in finding God, found himself and never drank again. That happened for me as well when it was, my abstinent date is July 12th of 17, and I got a sponsor in Vision. I started working the steps as written in the big book, and I finally left my house a free woman. I mean, just amazing that this really happened, and so grateful. My husband has actually says things to me regularly, like, now you're so strong, you're so solid. And it's really just because I am completely dependent on God for once, and I'm not trying to do the next new thing that comes along. I really believe for me this is the solution. And just so grateful to be here with all of you today. Thank you so much for your service, and I look forward to hearing what you have to say. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy G. Who would like to comment on these three paragraphs, the second, third, and fourth paragraph on page 158?
Charles H.
Donna W. H. I got Charles H. Can we try again?
Donna W.
Roz
W.
Donna
Wendy
B.
M. Roz G. Wendy M.
Raya
two
B.
more voices.
Raya
Donna
N.
W. Donna W. That's you.
Donna B.
Terry C.
Donna B. Terry C.
Terry
was
C.
it?
Yes, thank
okay.
you.
Okay, here's what I've got, and if I missed you, we'll pick you up on the next round. And if I got your initials wrong, please let me know. Charles H., Donna W., Roz G., Wendy M., Raya E., I believe it was, Donna B., or B., and Terry C. So let's start with Charles, followed by Donna. Please go ahead, Charles.
Thank you, Elaine B., for your lovely service. I love you. This is Charles H., a recovered compulsive overeater. And like what the previous speaker said, if you flip the page from 63, it says, this is a vital and crucial step, but it could have little effect if not going on with the rest of the process. But getting back to Bill D., his wife, just like people, like many people on the line, will see you, newcomer, or old-timer. They'll see that look in your eye, and you don't even have to say a word. And they will know that you made a decision. Because me, I was like Bill D. I was a psychopath. I went to many rehabs and things of that nature, but I never got that look. You know why? Because I always made a resolution. Maybe it was a Monday morning resolution. Maybe it was after Thanksgiving. Every day is Thanksgiving. Maybe it was after Halloween. Every day could be Halloween. And maybe it was after Christmas. But he couldn't do nothing when I was trying to do this thing alone. I love when Bill D. said that. There is a timetable here. It don't take long. On the third day, he turned his life over to the care of something he don't even know or can't see. But he was out of ideas. So I'm talking right now to the newcomer on the line, somebody that's spinning their wheels. You can make a decision right now, and get 48 hours of abstinence and work these steps like your hair is on fire. No matter if you lose the election, you still ain't got to pick up. No matter if people use the disease against me, all them bricks they threw at me, I use it as a platform, and it takes me around the world because of this affliction. And like Bill D., I don't have to pick up over any situation because he made a decision to learn the skill set, and ain't no half stepping up in here. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Elaine B., for your service.
Oh, thank you so much, Charles H. We'd love to hear you. Donna W., followed by Roz G.
Hi, this is Donna W., recovered in Palo Alto, California. Very smoky here. So grateful to be abstinent and recovered for today and to be on the line. And the every time I read this, where it says, he entered a political campaign, making speeches, frequenting men's gatherings, gathering places of all sorts, often staying up all night. He lost the race by only a narrow margin, but he had found God, and in finding God, he had found himself. And, you know, in my mind, I think, well, he's recovered. He should have won the race. And, you know, he only lost by a small margin, but he still lost. And, you know, like in my mind, I think, well, if I'm recovered and I've got God on my side, I should, like, get everything I want now, right? So, you know, what I'm learning from A Vision for You and folks who share on the line is that I don't get to be beyond human. And maybe by losing the race, even by a small margin, maybe that's the best thing for me because, you know, what's more important is that I find God. So it's good for me to remember that, you know, I get to be do God's will today. It's not about what I want. And, you know, it's you know, it looks like, he, you know, he got out there and was being of service to others. And by doing that, even though he didn't win the race, he became a well-respected member of the community. So that's what I wanted to share today, that just because we're recovered doesn't mean life is easy and we get everything we want. We're still human. I still get to feel all my feelings. I've had lots of feelings the last couple of weeks. And, you know, oh, great. You know, I get to feel all my feelings today. Woohoo. But I get to, you know, do my 10 steps. I'm writing a letter to family members that hurt me and, you know, ran it by my sponsor, ran it by my husband. I'm going to send a beautiful card today. I've been praying for them. And, you know, thank God I've got a solution for living today. I don't have to win every race that I enter. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Donna W. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Wendy M.
Is it Roz? Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning.
Good morning. My fellow compulsive overeaters, this is Roz G. from Los Angeles, and I'd like to fixate or hone in on useful member of the community. I spent most of my life wanting to get ahead, wanting to be noticed, wanting to have attention. You know, I was starving for it, and you know, I didn't want to be useful. I wanted to be popular, and as I have found God, you know, Jehovah, Jireh, that's my higher power, who resides within me, I am way more comfortable with myself. I do struggle sometimes with food, and I have to admit that, but I have grown in so many ways and changed and experienced transformation. And, I, you know, I just want to give some examples. Where I work, there's this key club of kids, and they're a volunteer kids. They're like, they volunteered in the community, and they needed an advisor. Nobody wanted to do it because it's not a paid position. And you know what? I volunteered. I said, I'll do it. And I don't get paid. And last week, you know, we went on a Magic Mountain trip, Six Flags, and I was out there freezing weather, waiting for parents to pick up kids. And I kept thinking to myself, you are being of service, or at least God was saying to me, you're being of service. You're not getting anything in return. And, you know, that's huge for me. And then there's this young gal that she's my assistant at work, and she was in this play. And she said, well, I have to leave early today because we're doing a play. And I was like, oh, well, when is the play? And she told me. And I went to go see the play, and, you know, it was terrible. Terrible. But you know what? It didn't matter. What mattered was I was there, and she knew it. And I was able to say to her, that was so cute. And she was so excited that I was there. I was not there to critique. I was there to be of service. And that, you know, for me, that's huge because all I wanted was attention. All I wanted was to get instant gratification. If I'm going to go see a play, I'm going to get my money's worth. It better be good. You know, so I know that deep down inside of me, I'm changing a lot. And I'm working on all of it. And I'm just grateful that to be a member of OA, you have to have a desire to stop compulsively overeating. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Roz G. Wendy M., you're up next, followed by Freya H.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Elaine, thanks for your service and everybody on the line. And I always thank God for my entire abstinence this morning. It's easier to be entirely abstinent than to be in the food. I know about that. So I thank God, and that is a grace. I am not doing it. I am graced every day as an entirely abstinent person. I'm not doing it. I'm just following directions and letting God take the reign. So I just want to say a few things. The third step, first of all, it says on the third day, right? Not on the 10th month, he took step three, on the third day. And when I'm working with people, we go rapidly through the steps. Their food is down, their life is going to be up, and we want to get them that relief. We want to get our sponsees through this quickly. And I just emphasize that because I've heard folks say, like, yeah, you know, I'm on step four and I'm on probably my third month of working with someone, you know. And I'll just say, I don't have an opinion. I just have experience. Experience showed me work quickly through the steps. And then the question of what third step really is. And right before the third step, what I've been doing is fighting, right? Because the third step is a surrender. It's a turning it over. It's giving it away. It's letting it go. It's a radical trust in a higher power. And the opposite of that is resistance, right? Fighting it. And I can tell you that one foot in my way and one foot in trying to surrender to God is painful. It is painful. It is suffering, you know. And the tenth promise, cease fighting everything and everyone. But I'm not going to let go of the fight until I'm desperate, until I'm really in a lot of pain. And then I'm probably going to do it, you know. And the minute I do it, I surrender self. And the big book I've been told is the death of self. So if I'm going to surrender, I can't be in self and take the third step at the same time. I can't do both, right? So I have to take that third step. And when I do, what freedom I get, right? I get freedom from the bondage of myself. I mean, if I'm in charge of today, that's not a good place to be, right? But if I give God, if I turn my life and my will over the care of God, I don't have to do anything but follow my intuition, which is God, you know. And then the other piece it says here is, but he had found God, and in finding God, he found himself. Well, I can tell you I was one big chameleon before I got here. I didn't know who self was. I had no idea who I was. And I can tell you something, after many years in doing this work, I'm just finding out who I am, right? So I can see more clearly doing the step work shows me who I am. I have a self. I'm no longer a chameleon. I don't have to say to you, who am I? Or what do you want me to be in this moment for you, right? I actually have a self, and that self can see clearly. I can see, for example, that my dishonesty or my motives set me free. The minute I see the dishonesty, the minute I see the motives, the minute I see my goodness, I'm set free every single time. And I'm more and more on to myself. And I always say this, if it's scratchy and itchy, I'm in self, right? And if it feels definitely fabulous, much. Thank you. I'm with God. And that's how I know which world I'm in. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Wendy M. Freya H., you're up next, followed by Donna D.
Good morning. This is Freya H. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for, I wasn't sure if you got my name, but I really appreciate this opportunity to speak up, because as I was listening to this, what really came out was that this new fellow, you know, worked really hard, and he did the footwork, and he didn't get what he wanted, and instead, as it says in that line, you know, but he had found God, and in finding God, he found himself, and there is little that is more valuable than that. And I certainly didn't see it that way, you know, pre-program. And I had this, when I first came into a program, I had this really strong delusion that took a long time to be smashed. And that was this delusion that if I do this program right, then I'm going to get what I want. And even though I heard people saying that wasn't going to happen and that, you know, God would give me what I needed instead, it took me, you know, it took a long time for it to sink in and recognize, oh, that actually applies to me too. So so I just appreciate that them describing the story that he worked really hard and he lost the race. But maybe, you know, the thought that comes to mind is maybe he probably learned something, you know, while he was in that political campaign, which was probably incredibly valuable, maybe more valuable than if he had, you know, than if he had succeeded. And that is the type of thinking that that I become open to when I am working this program and using the steps. Is, you know, my vision is very tunnel vision. You know, I see this one outcome that I want, and when I don't get it, I get disturbed, and then I get to step back and look at, what does God see here, and become open to these possibilities that, oh, maybe there is a greater purpose, or maybe not, I don't know, I don't have to know. Maybe I was of service through my failures as much as I was through my quote-unquote successes, and maybe I can let go of thinking about life in those terms, you know, like to remove all the judgment from it, just to accept all of it. And it feels like a radical shift in the way that I approach life, the way that I think about life. So, that today I used to think, I have spent so much energy trying to control the outside world so that I could be okay inside. You know, just everything just lines up on the outside and I get this and that and this and that. Then maybe I'll feel okay inside. And it never worked. You know, it maybe would give me momentary relief, but it never gave me lasting peace. And so that idea that, oh, in finding God, I could find God and I could find myself, nothing, I'm becoming more and more convinced that nothing is more valuable. And I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Cute little voice showing up in there. Thank you very much, Freya H. And Donna D., you're up next, followed by Terry C.
This is Donna B., as in boy.
Donna. Thank you.
Recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. Thank you for the opportunity to share. I spent last week in Nashville at a conference for work. And historically, conferences have been really challenging for me, mostly because I was very concerned with the impression that I was making on others. And the pressure to perform was so intense that it disturbed my sleep. So I wasn't sleeping at night and I was agitated, and it was just a compounding effect of just being a really horrible week that I would dread. And last week was really different for me, and I am so grateful for that. I'd like to read also a few people have gone back to the chapter How It Works. Right before we take step three, before I turn my will and my life over to the care of God, it says, when we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer. Being all powerful, he provided what we needed. If, one, we kept close to him, and two, we performed his work well. And when I was in Nashville last week, every morning in my prayer and meditation, I reminded myself that God is my employer. I work for God. I certainly don't work for myself. I certainly don't work for an employer that wants me to impress people, but rather to show up and to be of service. And remarkable things followed. I slept all night. It was the first time that I had packed meals for the entire trip, which is a lot of food, and I found that it's really heavy. I packed all my meals ahead of time. I froze them. I went through airport security with my meals, hung out with TSA for a few minutes, and he was really curious about what I was eating and why I had packed so much food, and we spoke in a friendly, warm, accepting way. I had a special refrigerator delivered to my hotel room, and it was amazing. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, as we became conscious of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. We were reborn. And with that, I pass. Central. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Perfect timing, Donna B. Thank you very much. And Terry C., you're up next. After Terry, we'll be taking more names for people who'd like to share on the second, third, and fourth paragraph on page 158. Please go ahead, Terry.
Hi, can I be heard, Elaine?
Yes, very well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Terry C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. Just love all the shares today. The shares are just so reinforcing surrender, surrender, surrender. And something has been said I need to do on a daily basis. When I look at the top of 158, I just keep thinking of how we're reminded before we take step three that we're at the turning point, you know, at the turning point. And for me, it's always really clear that I can't stay in the turning point. I can't live in the turning point. And I certainly couldn't live, and I think, you know, I always love the way page 25 describes it so bittersweetly for me, and that was I have two alternatives. I can go on blotting out the consciousness of my intolerable situation to the bitter end, or I can accept spiritual help. And that's exactly what we're understanding Bill Dobson was doing on the top of 158. If I, without God, I suffer. I suffer, you know, the turning point, the intolerable situation is me running the world. The intolerable situation is me thinking I have to be the perfect person, the perfect wife, the perfect mother, the perfect employee, sister, you know, daughter. That's the intolerable situation. Even with regard to program, you know, the perfect sponsor, the perfect, you know, person who is abstinent, the perfect, you know, following the perfect food plan, I can really be in an intolerable situation suffering when God's not there. Or I can accept spiritual help. And he just did it. You know, this is just a couple of paragraphs to explain to us so clearly that he accepted God. You know, he asked for his protection and care with complete abandon, complete abandon. And I've been in that, you know, I've made that level of surrender, or I've had the level of surrender to a bunch of different degrees. But in the program, I had to surrender originally to the fact that I couldn't do it alone anymore, and I was never alone. God was always there. I just had to remember that I was there to do his work, not vice versa. And then again, you know, after being in recovery for a while and realizing I had done these steps, but I was still disappointed and disturbed by everyone. And that was surrendering again to the fact that I didn't understand 10, 11, and 12. And today I understand them more, and with God's help, I'll keep doing them better and for a long time. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Terry C. So who would like to comment on these three paragraphs, second, third, and fourth paragraph on page 158?
Okay. Gina R.
Gina R.
Penny C. O.
Gina
J. R.
E. Carolyn S. A.
Beatrice O.
Deborah
H. Beatrice. Okay, let me tell you who I heard. I heard Carol C, Gina R, Penny C, Lisa J R, Carolyn S H, Mo H, and Janice B, I believe. And I think that maybe all we have time for is even that many. So I'm so sorry if I missed your name. Let's start with Carol C, followed by Gina R.
Did you mean Carol K? Because
okay.
That's me.
Carol K, please go ahead.
Okay. My name is Carol K, recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. And, you know, I remember coming into this meeting a little over 3 years ago, and I listened for, I don't know, about a week. And I remember telling myself, these people are either crazy or they're right. And I'm sure you guys can relate. I'm so thick-headed and stubborn that I had to find out for myself. I told my husband, I said, I got to find out. And there was only one way to find out, and that was to get a sponsor and follow her direction, because she went through these steps. I didn't know anything about this. And so I figured, let me do it. And, of course, we talked about God, which I didn't want to hear at that time. Because I blame God for everything that went wrong in my life. And, you know, I love where it says here, but he had found God. And in finding God, he had found himself. And that's exactly what happened for me. And if that could happen for me, that could happen to any one of you on this line, because I'm nothing special. Well, we're all special in our own way. We're all here for a reason. But what I'm saying is that I'm no different from anybody else. And that's what I did. I took this and I went through this book. And as of today, I sit here and sometimes I still shake my head and say to myself, you know, because I always heard this one person always say, you know, when he was on a line, food is not the problem. And I never understood it. How could food not be the problem? I sit there and eat a dozen Dunkin' Donuts. This can't be. It is a problem. No, now I get it. No, it's not the problem. It's the buildup of our emotions that's the problem. But these emotions don't build up if we're working the steps. They won't build up. And, you know, that's what I've learned in this program. So with God, I have everything. I don't need anyone or anything else. I want my family in my life. I want my friends in my life. But I don't need anyone except for God, because with God, I have everything. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Carol Kay. Gina R., you're up next, followed by Penny C.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I'm a compulsive eater, and I live in Green Valley, Arizona. The idea of the third day and the number three is just such a powerful concept for me. In my faith tradition, that is a very important day. But most recently in this last year, I had an experience that continues to show me just what the cycle of life is, and then in particular things for me. And on August 15th of this year, I had an accident where I broke my ankle playing a sport that I have come, that God has given me as a gift that I've come to love. It's a game called pickleball. And for a while, I had just this hint of really being upset that I wasn't going to be able to do this game again, ever. But because of the experiences I've had in this program and knowing that everything happens for me, nothing happens to me, and I'm going to reference on page 128, it's in the Family Afterword chapter, it says, assume on the other hand that Father has at the outset a stirring spiritual experience. Overnight, as it were, he is a different man. He becomes a religious enthusiast. He is unable to focus on anything else. And that is what's happened for me, is I am unable to focus on the things that kept me in bondage anymore. I have a new attitude and a new outlook on life. And in this particular instance, I was able to say, okay, God, I have no idea why this has happened, but I'm just going to trust that you are going to use it, not only for my benefit, but mostly for other people's benefit. And this past week, on the 15th, which is exactly 3 months from the date of my accident, my doctor and my physical therapist released me to go out and play this game again. And I went out with a little bit of hesitation, but what I had been doing in the meantime was focusing on watching people play, saturating my mind with how they play. And I went out and I played not as if I had not ever broken my ankle, but I was actually playing better. People couldn't believe it. And they said, what have you been doing? Have you been playing? And I said, no, I have just been focusing my mind on how I want to play once I'm able to play. And it's the same thing with this program. If you will focus on the things you know that your higher power is putting in your life, being loving and tolerant and aligning with that will, you will be doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing day in and day out. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Gina R. That's awesome. Penny C., followed by Lisa J.R.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody on the line. It's Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. And, oh, my gosh, I love these three paragraphs. I guess I say that about just about every paragraph in the book. But the words that jump out to me right now is that he was a free man. He left a free man. He left the hospital. I didn't get a chance to be on live on the gratitude meeting yesterday because I'm in church at that time. But this morning I felt great gratitude listening to that paragraph being read and shared on because, you know, I've been to diet clubs and tried all sorts of diets on my own and at one point lost a great deal of weight just so I could enter nursing school. They told me I needed to lose 50 pounds before I docked on the doors and didn't tell me how to do it when I was 18 years old or 17. But, you know, the weight came back on and I was sicker than ever, starving myself. But when I went to my first OA meeting, I knew nothing about the 12 steps. I never heard of such a thing. I just knew that it was fashioned after AA and that it was free. And at the time, I had no money. And my story, as maybe some of you have heard, that day, all I remember hearing at that meeting is a woman in her sharing who said, "This disease of mine," and I'll tell you, I walked out of that room, drove home, and I felt like now I know it was a spiritual awakening. It was God saying to me, "Now you know what's wrong with you. Now you know, and keep coming because you're going to hear more," which I did. I found a new concept of my higher power, and I've been free from binging from that day on. How does that happen? Well, I guess keeping in fit spiritual condition is the answer. And with all of your help and the help of wonderful people that I'm able to call, 3,600 of us out there willing to help each other. And I'm so grateful. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Penny. Congrats on your Red Sox. Lisa J.R., followed by Carolyn S.H., please.
Good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R. here. Very grateful today from Baltimore, Maryland. What marvelous shares on this reading. And for me, it all boils down to one concept, the whole 12 steps. God is everything or God is nothing. And it appears to me that this gentleman way back decided that he was going to believe that. And I've decided that, but the way my mind works, my mind gets fearful. And when I get fearful, I fall into the ego acting. I fall into trying to work things out. That inner border collie that is inside my head wants to come out and start to corral everybody. And, you know, I'd like to say that 3 years after going through vision that I would have a perfect walk. I do live in 10, 11, and 12, but I must say the other day I lost my emotional sobriety. Not my food sobriety, but my emotional sobriety. And I had to get right on it. I spent far too long stewing in it and throwing one link of resentment after another link of resentment onto that chain. And I finally had to call a sister whom I trust and tell her what I did. I had to confess my behavior. Because if I kept it, you know, I'm only as sick as my secrets. And if I kept that humiliating behavior locked up inside of my head, I would be, like they say, 3 days away from binging, you know, 3 days away from food being a step up. But when I'm in the bookends, when I stay in step 1, 2, and 3, every day I do that waltz. I don't care what anyone says. My ego will rear its ugly head if I don't stick in those three steps and finish them with the bookends, 10, 11, and 12, and vigorously work this program. Otherwise, I'm dead meat. I'll fall right back into fear, and then I'll fall into controlling, and then I'll fall into projecting and judgment, et cetera, et cetera, and I will be face down in the food. So, yeah, progress, not perfection, but we got to stay in those bookends every day, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Lisa J.R. Okay, so we've got about 7 minutes, and we've got Carolyn S.H., Mo H., and Janice B. in that order. Please go ahead, Carolyn.
Thanks so much, Elaine. Carolyn S.H. from Massachusetts, very gratefully recovered. And I can't do the math, but I think you're saying try to keep it lower than 3 minutes, less than 3 minutes, so maybe I'll see if I can do that. I'm going to start by saying ditto to everything that I've heard this morning. I just, these paragraphs are really meaning something to me this morning, and I don't feel like I'm going to be that coherent, but I'll do my best here. The sentence that is really important to me that I have highlighted a long time ago is, but he had found God, and in finding God had found himself. For a long time, I had just so much confusion around self, what's self, what's not self, you know, what does it mean to find yourself, but I'm not supposed to be selfish, blah, blah, blah. And I've really, through working the steps a few times and really doing step three, like daily, like living according to my higher power's will, you know, knock on wood on a good day, I'm learning the difference between self with a capital S and self with a tiny S and what it all means. And I really feel like I step out of that conversation. Like it almost doesn't matter what you call it. Like we, you know, once you've like connected, I feel like once I connected to my higher power and I know what it feels like and I know how I am and how to identify when I'm in recovery, when I'm in higher power's will and when I'm in my own will, like that's all that matters. I don't need to put a label on it. You know, I know what, you know, living according to these principles is and what it's not, what it feels like, what it looks like in my life. And I just love that sentence. It just really speaks to me. And that has been my experience as well, that I found myself. And the only words I can use to express that is like I found my best self. I found the self that I truly believe I was meant to be when I was born, the self that naturally loves and gives and is generous and is not afraid. And and with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Carolyn S.H. Mo H., we have time for a three-minute share. I underestimated by a minute what we had here. And Janice, I hope you have an opportunity to call a newcomer and share what you are going to share. So Mo H., please go ahead.
Hey, good morning. This is Mo H. from Northern California, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Elaine, for your service. And would you time me, Elaine, please? I don't have a timer by me. Good morning, everyone. I want to say that I haven't been on the line for like 4 months because I've been dealing with a severe back issue. And yesterday I made an outreach call to someone new to me and she prayed with me. And what came out of that call was, what's going on with me that maybe I can be of service to others. And I realized that I was letting this pain get the best of me and not being of service to this meeting. So I am grateful that God helped me see what needed to go on for me. The sentence before on the third day, it says, he sure didn't do much for me when I was trying to fight this booze racket alone. And that is so true for me. For many, many years, I skipped steps 2 and 3 because I knew God and I didn't need any changes in God. And that was all I needed. But I didn't rely on God for my food. I just relied on God for the big things. And it wasn't until I really gave my life to the care and direction of my God, which was 3 years ago, December, when my sponsor said to me, just what this sentence says, are you desperate and are you willing to go to any length? It says here, he said he was perfectly willing to do anything necessary. That means going to any lengths. And going to any lengths with this pain means I need to continue to work my program, and maybe I can't go to face-to-face meetings, but I can be on these lines, and I can be of service to all of you fellows, and I can make outreach calls, and I can take outreach calls. So if anybody needs to make outreach calls, I'm available almost all the time because I'm just laying a lot. And the other thing is, after I gave my life over to the care of God on that third day, and my sponsor had me go through these steps just like it is in this big book, in 30 days I was through the 12 steps, that I did feel free. I finally felt the neutrality around the food that I haven't felt for the first 28 years in the program. That food was not calling to me, and now, even now, I say I am not giving up my abstinence for the pain that I'm in. And I am grateful to have God. Thank you. I'm grateful to have God giving me a nudge yesterday, and thank you all for your service. I pass.
Thank you very much, Mo H., and everybody that shared. And Janice, I'm sorry we didn't have time on the line for you, but hope you get to share your thoughts. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Wendy B. please read a vision for you? Star one to unmute, Wendy.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I thought I was unmuted. Okay, so step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer.
Oh, I'm sorry, we're on page 164, and it starts with, our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Oops, I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong section. Okay.
No problem, thank you.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.